Welcome to the New 52 Review Podcast. I am here with my man Eric Shea. How you doing, Eric?
Shut up, Jim. Everyone's here. How I'm doing.
Are you supercharged?
Of course I'm supercharged.
Are you electrified for this one? Because we are talking about Static Shock Volume 1, Supercharged, Part 1. We will be doing two parts because this came out, 8 issues came out and was canceled. So they threw all 8 issues into one trade and then went with it, Eric, because this is, it's not great, but it is Static Shock Supercharged, written by Scott McDaniel and John Rossum, art by Scott McDaniel, Jonathan Glapion, LeBeau Underwood, and Desi Senti. Boom.
And this is
what DC had to say when the trade was released. When high school student Virgil Hawkins relocates to New York City, he'll have to battle a whole new kind of evil in the form of the Slate Gang, Piranha, and more. And the first issue was published on September 7th, 2011. Poor Guillotina. She didn't get much of a props there. But yeah,
Poor Pale Man.
The first issue came out September 7th, 2011. The trade did come out on June 20th of 2012. And as I said, it did contain all 8 issues of the series. And this first part, we'll be talking about the first 4 issues, which, as you hear this, even if you think that we're being not so positive about it, it may actually get worse. Right? It's not good. And just so that the thing that I have the biggest problem with going into this trade was the fact that I have no background in Static Shock. So I have never seen the cartoon. I never read any of the Milestone stuff. Or Milestorm stuff, as you say, Eric.
I don't say that.
I have never read any of that. So going into this is almost like one of those where we even have miniseries now in Rebirth and since then, and even in the New 52, where you have these books and you want to jump in, especially to me, this New 52 set up so that you do get a fresh start with everyone.
Yeah.
Now, one thing is, this is one of those books that does continue a continuity, because the big thing is the Dakotaverse of Milestone. He is from there. That is, and they didn't want to wipe that clean, because really that would take away from the character, I guess. And you know what I mean?
It's a partly continued continuity, because we deal with stuff in this where, you know, he is from Dakota. He has moved to New York, but I don't think we ever saw any of the continuity that they're talking about in this book.
No, we didn't. But what, like I'm saying, you have a, you go into a, say, Green Arrow and he's in Seattle. You have a little bit of a basis for it. I think that the problem with this is they didn't want to start. I'm shocked they just don't have him in Dakota and start up from the Big Bang there.
Right.
Paris Island, baby. But what happens is that Dwayne McDuffie is dead. Unfortunately, he passed away. He's the creator and writer of Static Shock, and because of that, I don't think they wanted to really go full out and step on any bit of toes that people would be like, oh my god, you know what, he's not even here to do it. I have a feeling that if he was alive, he would have been involved in this whole thing and probably would have been 100 times better. But because of that, I think they want to make a weird break. Like you said, this deals with a non-existing continuity that is existing,
like,
somehow.
As far as you need to know in this one, you know, like Static was from Dakota City.
Yes.
The Big Bang did happen. He got his powers. He became a hero. And then they moved to New York City because Hardware, like another Dakota City, like a hero, gave them the opportunity to freaking study here and be Static scholarship kind of deal.
Yeah, I have a little write-up. It says, and this is how it was officially announced before the series came out. Following the reality-warping events of the 2011 Flashpoint storyline, Virgil, who is Static, and his family leave Dakota for New York after an unspecified tragic incident, among other things, left his sister Sharon as two separate identical entities. And the vigilante Hardware gives Virgil a new costume, modified flying disc, which enables the two to remain in contact despite living in different cities. Hardware also gives him an internship at Star Labs as an after-school job, and that was to set this going forward. But like I said, they almost want to have it so you're not going to be erasing anything that happened before. If you happen
to read
that.
It's such a weird thing to have this whole idea we come here because of the whole thing that happened to Sharon, which none of us saw because this is brand new. We jump into this whole thing. Sharon has a clone. Neither know which one is the real one or who the clone one is. And it's just story that is just thrown at us without any explanation. And I'm telling you, it's confusing as shit when you jump in because I'm like, the fuck does he have two sisters now?
I'm telling you, they're
both sharing.
And he says, yeah, you're like, boy, the mother and father don't have much, you know, up there to name kids. They don't have much of an imagination of names because
Sharon,
they're both sharing.
We got
but
Sharon and we got Virgil.
Even then, there's a lot of times as we're going to go through this where you do have these shout outs to a past. And if you, you know, maybe if you know Static a little more than I do, some of the things are a little more clear. But even the things like that, like you said, you knew about the Bang Babies. Those are the gang members and the supers from Dakota. You would know about that, but nobody else would because they don't spell it out. And through that, it is something I struggled with reading this, even with doing some research. But like I said, I think that this was their way. I'm not saying that they did it well, but I think it's their way of saying, okay, all these other, most of these new 52 books are erasing all this past. We don't want to do that because of Dwayne McDuffie. So what we're going to do is kind of have our own way of kind of skewing it in because shit happened between that series and this. And Static was in the main continuity for a bit before
after Final
this
Crisis.
As well. Yeah, Final Crisis. So he had been in, but, you know, and some of that you can guess is kind of a race, but who knows? Because it's really out there of what's going on and really is confusing if you would just pick it up and just go forward with it. But it does start off and you do have Static right away and he's fighting Sunspot, Eric. And it's a very cold open where it's just Static flying around on his disc and he's fighting this unknown villain, Sunspot, who just, you don't know anything about.
Which is weird because Static just calls him Sunspot. The rest of the time, everybody else just calls him the pilot.
The pilot. And that's the thing also is, to me, it's weird just to have this name. You know what I mean? Any name, because I see, first off, he looks like a black hole more than a sunspot, but I guess it would be a sunspot. It's a black thing. But it's funny, you may have had a better setup if they were fighting a little like this and you had some inner monologue of like, huh, you know, when I fight guys back in the Dakota, I like to name things and I was pretty good with it. I'm going to call him Sunspot. But he just goes right with it as if when you're starting this, you think that this is going to be or was a villain that you should know, especially with, like I said, a Static who I didn't know anything about. And at this point, not even sure what was going on, where he was, whatever. You do get the New York deal. But again, being a guy who doesn't know much, I thought maybe he was always in New York until he kind of spells that out a little later. And I did some research. But yeah, he's just fighting this guy. And like I said, you're thinking that this is somebody you might know. But right away, I have problems. I like the art. I like the art throughout this whole trade. I do. I said to you before we started recording this that it's very typical. It's a weird thing to say because I can't say that DC has a quote-unquote house style. But going through these books that we have started with this new 52 review and kind of remembering back in the deal, it has a very similar quality to a lot of the books that you end up reading at the beginning of the new 52. But I liked it. It's very colorful. You have a lot of, and Static himself, I really do like his character model and things like that.
Oh, the new costume for the series looks about awesome.
Yeah, I really like that. And the blue and yellow really, you know, it really pops off there. So he's fighting the Sunspot and you're getting the dialogue. I like the art. The dialogue and the narration and stuff like that really starts to wear me down. And
well, it's
really
a lot
goes,
like we had in the Mr. Terrific trade you know, it's over-the-top technical jargon. It does go away like later on in this arc, but right away they want to show you how smart Virgil Hawkins is, so they have to force this goddamn dialogue down your throat. It's like, the only way this could have happened is if the plasma is extremely unbalanced and charged, and the only way that could happen is if the EM field is highly asymmetrical in a way I've never read about. I don't need this, Virgil.
I'm telling you, when I read stuff like that, I just end up zoning out. I have to admit that. And he continues fighting him. And even at this part, he's saying
nice,
all this.
A nice, tight little EM field that ionizes the gases in the air. And this baby should absorb his massive imbalanced charges, keeping me insulated from from him long enough to figure out what to do now.
Yeah, he says that. The best is at the one point, then he says, hey, this is usually the part where I impress the girls with some physics talk. Like, I don't know about that. And it's weird. That line to me actually stuck with me through this because as it goes on, Static is kind of, he kind of is a cool dude. I mean, he goes through class. You can imagine that this is not like a Peter Parker. Static seems to be a guy.
It kind of is because Static was kind of a Peter Parker character. He has gotten cooler like Peter did once he became a superhero. Yeah. So he has the confidence now. He has the smart.
Well, I'm saying as we go here, though, we're already past that because at this point when he's saying that, I'm like, God darn it. But once he goes to school and he's just Virgil walking around, the ladies are all looking at him. He seems to be a guy that can just go up to people and become friends with them instantly. Now, it does push the story forward at one point to do that.
You say that. You don't really see any friends until that final issue. Now he's tight with fucking these. He has closest friends in the world.
I'm saying at one point, though, at one point he just decides he wants to find out where a gang is. And 2 seconds later, he has the info because he seems to be a cool dude. But that's the thing. You never threw this whole trade until, like you said, the final deal where out of nowhere he has all these friends. You never get like a full concept of who he is. Everything seems to be forced into this. Like you said, this techno jargon is thrown out there to make you go, okay, he's smart, but yet his actions never really that smart, and you never really get like a full grip of him. They try to force some conflict between him and his sisters and how his home life is, but everything is really, to me, just glossed over, which also has to do with also glossing over his history and not doing very well to get you up and running of what going on. And unfortunately, I'll warn you now, you never do learn about a lot of things that are set up. They set up so many things at the beginning of this that never come about and never end except kind of pushed aside on that eighth issue. And it's a shame that this book did so poorly because it didn't sell well. It did not review well at all because I would have loved Static to continue on, not even just in this book.
That's the type of hero that I love. Smart-ass younger character who's trying to balance school and freaking being a superhero at the same time. It's the Spider, whatever. If you give me any kind of version of Spider-Man, I'm happy.
Yeah. And this, he should have remained and went on and been in the entire run of Teen Titans in the New 52.
That's funny, too, because when I was looking stuff up, apparently he showed up in some issues of Teen Titans in the New 52 after this was canceled. I was pretty sure I read every single issue of those.
I think he was only in one or two. So if you missed something, you may have just missed that. But he ends up knocking Sunspot out. He kind of gets him. He gets a cable, like a photon, a plasma cable. He goes to a bridge, ends up kind of, shorting him out. Yeah. And he goes down. And this is like a start of another thing. Like another thing that's set up is the fact that the New York City, the general population at this time seems to be like he's going to go in the direction of, they see Static as kind of somebody who keeps fucking up, because what happens is all the cars go down, the people's things from this whole electrical deal going down, and then when he goes over to Sunspot,
kid, my car won't start. They're all yelling to me.
And he, it's funny because he thinks they're all going to like, hey, you're welcome, people. And I got it under control. And then like, what are you doing? My car, I got to get to work. Oh, Jesus Christ. And then when he does this, he goes up to this guy who has a Star Labs symbol on his helmet. We find out later that the equipment that Sunspot's using happens to be from the same building of Star Labs that Virgil works at.
His prototype device he stole to get back.
Yep. And really, this just, there's not really much to this, except that this is the way for him to get involved in the bigger picture of what's going on, because you don't really get much from this. But he ends up going to the guy, what's going on? The guy's just like, oh, I'm dead. Oh, no, they're going to kill me. You ruined everything. And then that's when the guy gets a plasma shot right through him, dead. He's dead. There is a thing where it deflects off of a field that Static has
EM
around.
Field, yeah.
Yeah, so he doesn't get killed, but they definitely were shooting at him as well. This guy dies. Static, the worst thing of this is where I started with like, Static, you're there. This guy gets killed. I understand that you don't want to be to blame. Like, all of a sudden, this guy goes, but these people are stuck on this bridge. They've already yelled out that they can't call anybody. They can't use their cars. Their cars are all shut down. Somebody just plasma rifled through this guy in the suit, and you fly off saying, gotta move fast. It's like, oh, yeah, you're not there to protect people. He was only caring about himself, but he's wondering what's going on. And in the meantime, he goes.
I've never let anyone else know, but by concentrating, I could see in a wide range of electromagnetic spectra, including the ultraviolet. It's kind of like forcing your eyes to refocus. Like when you look at one of those 3D posters, you were all over all the rage back when my parents were still in college. But God damn it. I'm old enough to be status.
I definitely am. I know that. I'm not making any bones about that. But yeah, he's trying to chase. Worse. Yeah, he's trying to chase that the field that was made by this plasma shot, the photons from it. And he goes to do it, but we can't get to who shot it right away. So what happens is the sun gets in his eyes and he can't trace anymore, but he does. And we go and we see the Slate Gang is what it ends up being later. This gang, they're on these, you know, I don't even know what you'd call them, hover cycles. I mean, this is New York City, right? They're on these hover bikes going around, and yet nobody seems to be able to find these guys at one point. Static is all confused, but you have them go down there, and, you know, he's trying to figure out, but they get away. They see him, and then we see who the bad guys are. But the problem is the bad guys, there's a trillion of them. There really is a ton of these guys. There's the Slate Gang. You got Piranha, the Pale Man. Well, you got some detectives.
You have the Slate Gang, the writers of the Slate Gang. You have all the freaking, like, the info people of the Slate Gang. Like, the Slate Gang goes on and on and on, it seems. And, like, all included to this criminal alliance, which you have the Piranha, the Pale Man. You have Virul or Virul, whatever you want to call
him.
It just goes on and on. And
it
we're
going
to go through all of these characters. And even the like Piranha trying to create a new breed of friggin' like soldiers for his gang in this crime alliance.
Yeah, and then what you get, even before that, right before that, you do have Static talk. The first time he talks to Hardware, his mentor.
Who, I never liked Hardware.
No, and he's telling them basically, listen, don't worry about it. The police aren't going to be on you. They know what's going on, but you got to get home because your parents are going to see the news that something from Star Labs got, you know, stolen, and they're going to worry about you. So he goes off, and then you go see the bad guys. And really, I'm telling you, there are too many. This is too many people to throw in right away to try to get a grip of what's going on, especially in a first issue. But the big thing coming from this is that they recognize that Static is the guy who was Static in Dakota. So they end up, you know, tying that together.
We have a transplant from Dakota. Yeah. You know, it's like we have, like, they're all pissed off, too, because they're happy that Hawkman didn't get involved.
Yeah,
and
that's
Captain
kind of
Adam also works out of New York at this point. And now we have Static. God damn, the freaks are just coming into play.
And
this used to be our city.
Yeah, and at this point, you have Piranha, who's, like, one of the bigger guys in this whole deal, where he thinks that, basically, okay, and really.
You never get a background of.
No, and it's like, okay, Hawkman's Captain. This is the Static guy, Dakota. Okay, let's just, this guy could be killed easily. But they even say, like, oh man, who is this guy? And like, you know, he's made a couple brief appearances and we got this and that. Then all of a sudden you get guys like, hey, this is unacceptable. I have clients waiting. I'm telling you, this tan guy, all these people are just thrown at you panel after panel. And my head was spinning about, you know, what was going on. It was not well, you know, spelled out, except for what I really took from it is they're all bad. Yeah. They're all going to be after Static now because he kind of messed up. And the big thing is what they call Sunspot. They call the pilot. When he did short him out, Static went up to him, and this guy did talk to him and said, oh my God, they're going to kill me. You blew it. Oh my God, why'd you do that? Then he got shot. They don't know what he said. They don't know if he said, like, oh man, I'm from this guy, that guy. So they're all running
scared.
The crime
alliance set me up to do this, Static. Oh no, what does Static know about this?
Yeah. So they all want to go. And a little thing from later, we do find out that the one detective is there. Like, he's a dirty cop. And even then he's like, hey, listen, I put up some charges against the pilot, so they're never going to connect it. He had gambling debts. They all think it's that. You find out later that this guy isn't actually bad. He's undercover, actually undercover with the Pale Man. And the Pale Man, again, there's so many things in there, is a guy who was a police officer who was jokerized and does look like the Joker, which is another. It's a pretty crazy deal. But
it's just weird, too, because it takes forever for them to freaking spell that out.
Yeah,
we just have a guy who looks like the Joker and have no idea why.
No.
And like, the only clue we have to anything is later on he gets all pissed off and beats up a guy who's like, hey, I know who you look like. You look like the Joke. And then he gets
shit
beat out of him.
Yeah, it's just crazy. But yeah, there is at least 12 bad guys in this room.
And then when you get back home to Static's house in Harlem, we find out that Sharon has a goddamn clone, but you're not exactly sure of this right from the get-go.
Yeah, and even right before that was the big thing where they're like, okay, bring out the big guns, and it's this guy, Viral. He is a walking virus who has kind of a containment suit.
Which you don't find out till later either.
Yeah, no, I'm telling this is the problem, is some of these things you never find out.
Like, Viral to me looks like he's somehow an alien that they've, like, conned into or hired to be in their criminal organization.
But instead, he's like a parasitical chemo?
I don't know. He's a living virus.
He's a living virus. But yeah, but we never really get much
about
him.
With a lot of guns.
But yeah, then you go off to Static's home, and there's this whole family. And yeah, if you didn't know this going in, if you're reading this, and just as you read it, if you do go to get this, where I'm not going to suggest it fully, but if you do go read it, just forget for a moment when you're reading this that Sharon, his sisters, is one person who's cloned and they don't know which is which, because you don't get any sort of concept because they're never really together half the time, you know, in this beginning, and they're just talking and you have no idea. It's funny because he's in the kitchen with his mother and sister. They're eating cereal, and you have Virgil's upset because when they moved to New York, his sister sent an ID photo, and it's an old ID. It's an old photo.
It's
of
all
him.
Nerdy looking he Virgil. Wanted he this doesn't new want that. You can't get ass. Good looking chicks with an old nerdy Virgil picture on your student ID.
Which again, later on in the part two of this,
and
it saves his bacon.
It'll come back to save the day.
It saves the day. But in this, but you're there. The mother's there with Sharon and Static. Then he's wearing a thing. Then you go into the next room, and there is Sharon and the dad, and Sharon's dressed differently. And I was what's going on? Hey, I'm like, okay, you said sisters, whatever. It's so crazy. But as he goes out, you know, he's talking to his mom and Sharon about the ID. Then he goes out to the other room and he wants to get a car, and he wants to ask his dad about a car. And that's
New York
has
some of the best public transportation in the world, Virgil. You can't be getting. We sold our car when we moved here. It's not like you're going to go and get one. I can't afford that insurance.
That's where Pandora is. She's looking through the window when he first goes out into the living room. Is in the middle window just staring in at them. Nobody notices this weird lady outside glowing. But yeah, he talks to that, and his dad goes on and on about how, they have public transportation here, and then says, like, we have to sit, sell our car. And I thought, God damn it, Hardware, who set all this up, it seems. At least let them have a car or something. But hey,
they live in New York. They don't
they
need
live
a car,
in New York.
Jim.
Yeah, people have cars. That's how it goes. But they don't need one. He goes off to school. This is the morning. He goes off to school. And one of the things that made me laugh in this first issue was he's like 20 minutes after what feels like the longest school day on record. It looks like it's midnight. It is dark out. There's lights on. I'm like, I don't know how long the school goes on for.
He has a lot of after school activities.
Yeah. And he goes into Star Labs. He has this access. He goes in and he talks to Hardware. And this is kind of like more of this kind of catch-up deal where he's like, hey, Hardware, by the way, why does everybody keep looking at me strange? Like, what's going on? They're like, hey, I wanted you to be left alone or whatever. So I didn't want anybody to be suspicious. So I told them that you were a criminal, that I am rehabilitating. I'm like, oh, God, poor Static. Poor Static. And it's like, I guess
profiled.
That makes it's like, I guess that makes sense. And then they go. So they're going with that. And then he goes out. And I'm telling you, through this whole thing, a lot of going forward is just a lot of Static flying around the city until something happens. And in this, until he's attacked. And you see this at the point where you have the Slate Gang on their hover bikes. They see him.
Because they've told the Crime Alliance that they're going to go after Static and they'll get the job done because they're the best part of this organization.
The
much to Piranha's chagrin.
Yeah, and Piranha and the Slate Gang, especially the woman in head, at the head of the Slate Gang, at least the hoverbike people, they seem to have a little bit of a conflict with each other, and it's just, but never comes to anything really. But yeah, you have it where he gets shot at the end, and actually gets his arm.
Takes a shot and blows his fucking arm off.
Blows his arm completely off. Until it's not later, because we go, and that is the end of the first issue. And I'll tell you, one of the things is they had the thing where they wanted to keep having my role being the cliffhanger every time, because this is him shooting him, that he comes up later. But as we move on,
I'm telling you, the thing is, I must have been in the comic book shop though, because I like Static. So when I saw this, I paged through it at the comic book shop.
You saw him get his arm cut off?
And I don't know if I did something that I would do when I was a kid where I'd have something and then I would create the rest of the story. Because for some reason in my mind, because I know I didn't read the rest back when it came out, I thought that he had like an electric arm that manifested out of like the stump or whatever. Yeah, so he had an arm, but it was just an electric arm.
So you were just thinking of what would happen because you never went on with
story
it.
And I think that would have been better. In my mind.
I think it would have been better because you start out then and all of a sudden you have one of those starts of an issue that ends up going back a couple minutes before the last cliffhanger. So when that happens, you end up going and he's got his arm. He's just talking. He's zipping around. You see this, you know, this disc coming at him, the disc that did it. And then his arm gets severed off again. And I was like, oh, okay. They were just going back. But still, as this goes on, immediately a plasma deal starts going, and then he actually just makes himself like a cast, kind of a containment thing where you think he is putting it together so that he can go back and get healed later. But the fact of the matter is this never does anything except for him having a little bit of pain later that he mentions, but it doesn't do anything. And this is where he comes face to face with Viral, and they're just going on.
It's kind of a bitch because all we really gather from all of this after the fact is that his powers are changing. He has powers he didn't know he had. Like right now, he has a healing factor to a degree that allows his arm to stay on.
Yeah, he thinks he's like Superman.
Because the whole idea is, you know, these discs that were fired at him were so like, they're like atom thin.
Yeah, yeah,
it was
this
able
is
to
the problem
freaking sever
on,
without
yes.
the arm even realizing it was all that severed. So it just reconnected thanks to his electric powers. But it never goes anywhere besides for that. His powers are changing, and he has a healing factor to
and
a degree.
It goes – well, it even – what he says is because those discs are so perfectly bladed that when it cuts – if you cut steel plasma with a plasma deal that's so perfect, you can actually just reattach it is what he says. I'm no scientist, but you know, the molecular structure of it, the molecules are so perfectly – you know, severed that when you put it back together, they kind of just bond. And he kind of says that, like you said, it seems to be set up later. But to me, it seemed to be really more set up of just a particular thing that happened. I would have liked if there was an explanation more of how his powers, like you said, his powers gave him a healing factor. It basically, to me, it made him more of like a metal plasma type entity is what he said, how he got it put together. But it really doesn't make any goddamn sense. But
I'm telling you, the thing is, that was such a cool cliffhanger to end on, just to show up for this next issue and like, all right, and now we're not going to worry about that anymore.
Yeah, and he uses his discs to make a cast. But when this is going on, I do like the fact that when Viral shows up, he has that disc gun. And I don't know about you. I don't even know if they had him still. But I had this disc thing that you would shoot discs out of, this gun, this toy.
Me and my dad and my brothers and sisters always played disc guns in my grandmother's basement. We turned the couches over and shit like that and set up sides.
I love those so much. I like those so much more than like a dart gun or even a Nerf gun. Those disc guns were so fun.
So when I saw them,
the worst though is you never get a really great shot of it because as he has it, he's holding it Viral, and it's kind of on the top panel and it's kind of like cut in half there. But boy, I love those things. But yeah, in this you have Static talking, pretty much talking shit, because when he gets near Viral, it kind of shuts down his power, you know, his suit and things like that. And then you have Static talking shit, even though he's pretty fucked up.
Your power has destroyed Viral's weapon.
Yeah. Yeah, and basically he's like, you know what? I'm not afraid of you, whatever. He's talking shit because he really is having some problems here. Viral turns, runs away. So he's like,
my bluff
worked.
This guy's stone cold killer, and I don't have enough juice to make him feel like he's shaking hands with a joy buzzer.
Nah. Thank you. And then he's like, hoo-wee. And he goes off. And then
I know. And then
you get the Slate Gang now, and again, now you're going back and forth with the bad guys again. The Slate Gang are trying to say, you know what, you're selling him short. The Static is not as easy as you guys are thinking. He is a superhero. Even though he's a teenager, he's still pretty tough to do. And Piranha's just like, no, you failed. You guys had one fucking thing to do, and you blew it. And
Look,
then
the
this
goddamn
is
living virus Virul couldn't do it. What do you want us to do? We got hover bikes, motherfucker.
Yeah, we're just driving around in hover bikes. We're just a couple of kids on hover bikes.
We got different colored suits. That's what we do. That's
I'm
all we got.
You. Yeah, I'm telling you, these are basically Power Rangers with no powers on Segways. You could have the same. These kids could just be going around on fucking tricycles. Would probably be just as effective because we know. Do you ever, in this first part at least, you ever get an idea that really they can do anything?
No,
they just ride around. Yeah, they ride around and look cool, which is why all the kids think they're cool. They really don't do anything. So you're going back and forth with, you know, what's going on.
We just ride around and look cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm
down.
So
Piranha's
pissed.
No. And Piranha's pissed. That's the one point where hey, with due respect, sir, Piranha should stick to his role of intimidator and thug. He's, what? You little? I'm going to tell you. And then hey, everybody, just shut your mouth. And that's where you have this detective trying to figure out what's going on and saying, basically, you know what we have to do? We got to track. Like, he's thinking. These others are just, they're just
this
reacting.
This is the best part, too, because this whole idea is something we talk about all the time. Like, it should be really easy for you to freaking figure out who this person is based on the whole idea. You have New York City. Yeah, it's kind of a big place. You don't have a lot of people coming from Dakota to New York City in a certain amount of time. And they even put it to a 100-mile radius. I'm like, now you're thinking, this is a crime organization right here.
Yeah,
they know what's
now,
up.
Yeah, now you got something because, this is what you should do. Like we said, this is what we've recently, while we're talking in Rebirth, of when Supergirl was working her parents. What's their name? The Danvers. And then they quit. And nobody can track them to her. Even it made no sense.
Or even just the whole idea, like, man, who's Green Arrow? We freaking, Oliver Queen was on this island out of nowhere for 5 years. He came back and this Green
and
Arrow showed up. They look a
Green
lot
Arrow
alike.
Showed up. Yeah, they look alike. All this. He has money. They're thinking ahead and thinking smart
idiots.
Now, again, this is where later that really nerdy picture that seemed to be Sharon pulling a prank on Virgil does save his ass. And I have to say, I love things like that. I like how they spelled it out earlier and it does come into play. But then you have
Even with that, though, I still had a problem because it's a funny thing because you have this really young and nerdy picture and they're looking for somebody who looks like Static. So they have a picture of Static and they found a picture of Virgil because they're both from Dakota.
Yeah.
There should be facial recognition
software
that looks beyond the dreadlocks and the glasses.
Also, at one point, all they have to do is draw dreadlocks on and take the glasses off. Yeah. But even then, you still should be like, okay, well, you know, these superheroes, sometimes they try to change their appearance a little. You know, they don't just go out, unlike Green Arrow, who just puts on a domino mask and then adds
they
out.
They all look alike. They just put on a mask and go out.
Well, at least
nobody changes their appearance.
At least Static looks a little different.
Superman
He's got
puts
his
on
cool
a pair
dreads.
Of glasses.
Yes, really. But this is where Static goes back to Star Labs and his little base that he has, his headquarters, to figure out what's going on.
And it's not exactly at Star Labs. I just wanted to say before, it's at this thing, hardware setup called Tools. It's like a
Wright
little
Tools.
Secret hideout for just him alone.
But it is part of, like, and he tells his dad the whole deal. But yeah, he is working at this hardware deal. But yeah, what is it called?
Wright Tools.
And, but he is working inside. When he goes in, it's funny because where he goes in, he does have to log into a Star Labs, keypad and things like that. So I don't know what's going on there, but he does go back. And this is where you get that whole explanation for page after page of him saying, like, oh, that was a solid cut. He's talking about his arm, but he's like, I don't know. It tingles a little now, but I think it's okay. And now you also get a little bit of a background because he's like, hey, I wish I could tell somebody about this. I don't have anybody to talk to about, what's going on here. When I was in Dakota is one thing, but now I'm in New York. But he has a friend from Dakota, Frida.
His girlfriend, Frida,
And he doesn't want to call her at this point. He does later, but he doesn't want to call at this point and bother her, especially it seems to be late.
Which is even weirder because we do get a call later on, but it's the one and only time in this series that we get to talk to Frida.
Yeah, and he just kind of really, when he's talking to her, it's not
much.
Yeah, it didn't work at all. Even though he's Static, you think he could kind of go back and forth, but he doesn't. But yeah, you have the deal where now we're going to go. I don't know. I have no idea where any of these play. I don't know where Dakota is. It's not Dakota's, so who knows? I don't know. But you go, and that's where you see Piranha. You get a little background, slight background of Piranha and the Pale Man. And more of not background, but what they are trying to do. And it's very generic that, you know, you have Piranha who wants to be the big bad of the city, and you have Pale Man that's working with him that just wants to be his gun when he becomes the big bad of the city. So he's kind of there. We do find out later that Pale Man is working undercover, so it makes kind of sense.
But it doesn't matter because he loses his mind anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But at this point, you get the idea, okay, he wants to be there. Why is he with this brute Piranha, who is just a big piranha, by the way? And you find out
later.
No
background.
No. And then you go and you continue, no background. You have a very confusing scene at this one point where you have his Virgil's sister Sharon, one of them, you know, brushing her hair. We find out basically
she's looking
that
in
both
the mirror,
of them
brushing
have
her
this.
Hair. Yeah, and all of a sudden, a hands reach out of her mouth, and like we then pan inside of her mouth, where you see another Sharon trying to reach out of her mouth to pull herself out.
I will
tell
you,
and they both wake up at the same time.
I didn't know what was
going
on. That whole progression of it looks like a worm is coming out. And then you do see it looks like a thumb on the one deal. But if you're just looking, it looks like a worm. And then to me, instead of that being in a mouth, when I first read it, I thought that she was trying to pull herself out of now a hole that she was being sucked into. Once you get the idea, you're like, okay, I see there's teeth there, but really it's not really spelled out well. And both the girls wake up and scream, and that's the first deal where you realize that these, you know, these twins, they're actually clones. They don't know which is the original one.
And that's the thing, even the explanation we get about them being the same, like there's no real basis for a clone because they are both exactly the same in every way. But even when you have that, I can't imagine they're both like, because they're not at the same places at the same time, experiencing the same things. So they should not have the exact same goddamn dreams like this.
Well,
they should not
do.
Be feeling the exact
that's
same thing, at any given time.
I guess that when we would get to it, because we don't really, you know, we don't really know a lot about what, you know, this is something where they have some link. And yeah, they end up answering things exactly the same no matter where they are. They end up having the same exact dream at
the
same exact time.
I'm okay with the idea if they, like, you know, one is a copy, but as far down as you could go molecularly,
yeah,
they are the exact same being. I'm okay with that. But once they go off and have their own experiences, they should not be exactly the same in their thinking and their answering of questions. Like, if I go off, like, I have a clone, I'm over here, I go and watch a scary movie, it actually fucks me up a bit, I have a nightmare that night, my clone should not have the exact same nightmare.
I think it's more than that. They obviously have more of like a psychic connection that I don't think they're clones. I think that they're severed the same exact thing. I think that we would have ended up
finding
out.
They're not clones. They are exactly the same thing. They're not built like a clone. They are the same person.
Yeah, I just think they are.
Go beyond that and experience their own things separately.
I think their brains are connected somehow. We would have found, you know, maybe if this would have went longer and longer, I think we would have found out that they end up experiencing both. Like if this is me and you and I go out and eat a steak sandwich and you have never had one, somehow in your brain you would have had that memory. Not that you would know it, but subconsciously we share a link somehow, because it doesn't make sense. Like you said, a clone would have separate deals going forward. These do not. They end up going exactly the same. So I think it's almost like a hive mind thing, if you ask me, what it would have ended up being. But we're never really going to find out, right? So we can just guess. But yeah, they just sit there, and that's the whole conflict. You're a clone. You're a pretender. All that stuff like that. So you even have that whole deal where the parents don't know because they're so similar. And even then, like, you would think that the clone would have, you know, not exactly some things, but it's all the same. So,
you got to take them both in and treat them both like your daughter, because, and it's weird too, because while you have to treat them both like your daughter, because you have no idea who the copy is.
Yeah.
It seems like the mother takes care of one. And the father takes care of the other. So that really just takes them away.
That's all it is.
Really, like, all right, this is daddy's girl. This is mommy's girl
Why does daddy
love me as much as that dirty clone?
It's crazy because, and they must have decided to do that just so you didn't get confused at the two. You know, okay, that's the one that hangs out with the mom. That's the one that hangs out with the dad. And you just go from it. But yeah, you'd have to have them be pissed off. And they are. And at one point coming up, they even plead to Static, like, you know, I'm the right one, right? And then the other one's kind of a little more mean. But Static heads off to school then. And this is the first part where we actually see him in school. And he's at the Dwayne G. McDuffie Center for Science and Mathematics, which is cool. It's a a good shout out. He goes in and he's looking at the chicks. They seem to be interested in him. You get a little TNA, and I mean TNA, and they're even looking at his sexy muscles. And he's like, play it cool, Virg, walk away and leave them wanting more. I'm like, no.
And we never get back to anything like this in the entire series.
He's playing it cool. They're going to want more.
He played it too cool.
He ain't got time for that, because then he goes and he sees a guy with the bingo he says bingo, but he sees that tattoo.
The
biohazard of the Slate Gang. That's the Slate Gang tattoo. And he goes up to start talking to this guy, and this guy named Quentin, and he ends up spilling the beans about everything there is to know about the Slate Gang that he knows, because he's just like a guy trying to get in.
An underling, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, he's on like a, you know, hazing day. I don't know, because when
he
says...
I think he's on coffee duty.
He must, but he's not even that big. Because when he does, like, you know, you have static going around, then afterwards he sees the Slate Gang, he recognizes the symbol, they fight it out, and he's going. But really all this leads is Clinton's going to end up, or Quentin is going to end up leading them to the Slate Gang, and it never works out, but at this point he's fighting the Slate Gang again. And again, like I said, he's just flying around. He sees their hover bikes with that same, you know, symbol, the biohazard symbol. He attacks, they're fighting, and then the issue ends with Virul again about to cut or kill Static Shock. And it's like, really? That's how we ended last? And then we pick up again with that. And it just, it's starting to get boring already.
Well, it's the same thing over and over again. And like I said, the big difference here is we get a little bit more with the Sharons. Still very confusing, though.
Yeah.
And we get to school and there's a new connection to the Slate Gang.
Yeah.
And then we jump into what the entire series has been so far.
Yeah, because you go back then and now there's another fight. And you continue the fight with the Slate Gang and Viral. And now this time, Static kind of can get away because the police get involved. Everybody kind of, you know, runs away. But even then, it's just crazy. But he goes
back
to
his house.
But
Virul has a new, like, you know,
he has a new reason
for living now, because he realizes Static Shock, his power that he used to get away from Virul when he zapped his hand away.
Yeah.
It allowed his cells to replicate. And that's all that a virus wants to do, Jim.
He just wants to replicate.
Static now, because he wants Static deep inside of him to help him replicate.
And also, you have a little bit where even Static is impressed with the Slate Gang and Virul, because he's like, whew, they think, you know, they're changing their game. Man, they must be smart. But then he goes back home, and he goes in, and this is where you get that little bit I said with the Sharons, where the one Sharon's watching TV, and he's like, hey, you sure you want to be watching that? It's like, she is watching.
She's
watching a movie about clone. The sixth day.
Exactly.
That's what it seems like it is. And he says, you think you should be watching this? And she's like, it's the third time I have. You know, you can tell it's me, right? I'm your sister. I'm the one. You know, I don't want you to think and go the wrong route and whatnot. And she seems very nice.
Sharon, I would love to say that I know it was you, but really, both of you are the bitch-ass sisters that I've always known.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, this is where I think this is the start of what they were going to show, is that one was like a part of – they were parts of the same person, because you do have that weird thing where the one Sharon's watching this movie and she's like, oh, you know I'm the real one. Come on, big brother, you know, whatever. And then he goes out and the other one's just sitting on the stairs. Don't be taken by her lies. She looks mean. And she's like, you know, you and I both know I'm your real sister, not that thing in there. She's the copy. And I'm telling you, I think it was going to go that route where you would have had them as one was, you know, increasingly nice, the other one might be mean. You'd have that whole thing with Static. Like, you know what? My sister never really was nice to me, but when the chips were down, she kind of was. Like, it would go. And I'm telling you, at the end,
It doesn't matter at the end anyway, because the end, like, okay, we're both Sharon, and now we love each other. Okay, let's go
and
home.
I think at one point they would have fused together. I think they would have had some sort of thing. They would have fused them back together as one, and they would have been the one thing. But it ends too soon for them to do it, and they just agree.
Even later on, Static
shake
becomes
on it.
A double as well.
Yeah, they shake on it, and that's it. But yeah, I do think that that's what was going to happen, that you have the good and bad kind of deal mixing and matching. It's like twins. You know, you have the freaking Arnold, and you have the Danny DeVito. They get put together, boom. But yeah, he goes into school again, And he's there and he sees that, you know, Quentin there, he's talking about the Slate Gang and the tattoo. And he goes over again. And it's like, hey, you know, I recognize that. You know, I
you
was in a gang
bad,
too.
You ain't nothing.
Yeah, that's it. And he's like, huh, where were you? In a gang. And he's like, back in Dakota. Huh, what were you, Red, cruising around hay bales, tipping cows? That's not really hard. And he's like, you ever heard of Paris Island? The Big Bang? That ride
oh,
hard
shit,
enough for
dog.
You? And immediately everybody changed. Oh my goodness, the Big Bang? One guy, not the cosmological.
You rocked a Paris Island, son? What'd you pack? Snub-nosed revolver? Dog, did you? I don't want to talk about that here. Oh, yeah, shit, yeah. Son.
He's like, oh, shit. You know what? You eating that Egg McMuffin with me now, sucker? But yeah, he's eating something there. And they're like, oh, right, you know what? I thought you were just a poser. I'm partying at this club tonight. You know, you want to come? That's where the Slaters hang out. And that's where he's like, bingo, and he's there, but
that's where all the
clones so
of
funny.
Mario Lopez hang out.
Yeah, yeah.
The Slaters.
Bingo. That'd be great. They have pink tank tops dance around, and the clones that are outside doing the intro are like, hey, where you think you're going, preppy? That's how you get in. And then the code word is the phrase, I'm so excited. I'm so scared, Eric. And then all you right. get in. But yeah, they go to this
now,
club.
The code is, hey, mama.
That would be, hey, mama. Oh, you silly fool. They go off to this club. He meets up with Quentin. He's like, hey, sorry, I'm late. He has his book. The worst is he's going into this club. We've already seen him go into school where you have, you know, this is in the New 52. But still, when he went into school, they had, you know, metal detectors and stuff like that. I don't know. Maybe you're supposed to think that's static because he was from Dakota, but he's got his gear.
You can't even get into a club wearing a ball cap.
That's
you're
what
not
I'm
going
saying.
With a fucking bag.
He
I
has
remember
a
at one
backpack.
Point after 9/11, I had a backpack. I went like it was right after school, I yeah. think. And no, because I was out of school at that point. But I had a backpack, because I always have a backpack. But I went right to the movie theater after something, and they told me you cannot have your backpack in the movie theater. We do not know if you have a bomb or not.
Yeah,
like,
a bomb.
Fuck.
And he's going in.
I sort of watched
and
Jason X.
He's got this big backpack. If they open it up, it's got crazy shit in there. Right. I remember in a way of mine, I went to a wedding. One of my friends got married like right out of high school. We went to a wedding and we had like the whole thing where the groom has the ball and chain. He had this, you know, fucking ball and a chain on his ankle. It was a joke. And we went all around with it. Then later, after college, a little later, his brother got married and this was going to be like their tradition. And we went to a place like, you can't fucking come in here with that, a chain and a big fucking ball. So,
I remember going to a concert one time. I was patted down. They confiscated my lighter and threw it in a fucking box. Yeah. And you can't have that. What the hell?
Yeah, so Static, he doesn't know. He talks a big game, but he shows up at this club where the Slaters are supposed to be with his backpack with his Static Shock stuff in. Well, as they're going in, you
just
find
Static,
out.
Static, Jim. Static Shock's the name of the title, not him.
Yes, well, he is Static, so.
That's right.
But yes, you have the whole deal where they're in line. This Quentin, you're supposed to think he knows the way to get in, and he does not. He can't even drop the name of, say, Fred Durst to get in.
I told
in
you before to beat it, punk.
Yeah, and he's like, come on, que pasa, Carlos? What's up, my brother? And they're like, no, you get out of here. Luckily for Static, a guy there is getting kind of grabbed and has a gun. And everybody's getting knocked over. He slips
out. And everybody
out.
Else is running away, so he has a chance to slip away and get the gear on.
Yeah, he gets the gear on and goes up. Now, the best part about this is for real, he never really needed to meet up with Quentin.
That's the
he
thing,
shouldn't
that,
have. He, you
like,
know what I mean?
Where did he meet up with Quentin? It seemed like he met up with Quentin right outside of the club. It's not like he needed Quentin to like follow me to where this is going to be.
He had an address. That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Go to your hideout, put on your static stuff, and then fly to the goddamn club.
In the meantime, also, because I don't think that they wanted this Quentin to go in and possibly get involved in some crazy – like, he wants to be a gangbanger, but I think that that's where you go and where they're like, hey, beat it, you youngin'. Oh, man, what's up, Carlos? Hey, what's up, Carlos? I think they really didn't
beat
want
it, young
this
blood.
Young kid. Yeah, I don't think they wanted this young kid to get fully involved in anything, so he kind of gets away. But, yeah, really, Static, he had the address because he shows up.
Yeah.
He also, as he gets on his equipment, says, hey, Quentin told me that most of the action happens in the upper level. So he already knows everything
like,
he needed to know.
I didn't know how I was going to get out of that one. Thank God for Mr. Drunk and Disorder. Like, What was your plan?
Yeah, what was your plan? There was no plan. There really wasn't. And when he shows up and he's like, oh shit, you know, if there was a plan at that point, he should have went and done it, because the plan seemed to be, I hope a guy has a gun in line,
like,
and causes a distraction.
There's two options that happened here. Either Static got inside the club, where he says here,
yes,
this is better than I dreamed. If I had gotten into the club with Quentin, I would have been swarmed by hot babes looking for some action. But now with Quentin out of the picture, I'm free to cut loose with some Static action. I'm
It just doesn't make sense.
So here's the plan. I get inside. I get distracted because hot babes obviously want some Virgil action.
Warm,
but if I don't get inside, superheroes are going on.
Yeah. I it's so weird, though, to think about,
like, flipping a coin if you're going to take the night off or not.
Pretty much that if Quentin would have had the connection and they got in to what appears to be, I don't even know what this club is called, the Backwards C26 Club, but if or the J26, I don't know. But when if he would have gotten in, basically the series would have stalled then. It's so crazy that
now
he
we're
even
seeing
got,
Virgil hit on some hot babe.
Yeah, there we go. And even then, why get this Quentin that involved? Why, you know, and again, runs away as this guy who, yeah, he's kind of a piece of shit. He's bragging about gangs or whatever. I see him underneath this other guy who's getting tackled. He may get hurt. Static doesn't care. He just bails. He just bails, gets his equipment, goes up on his disc, and he sees the great image of the Slaters sitting there. They're hanging out in one of the upper levels on, like, this big couch, just holding their guns. It's the best. I'm telling you, what fun are they having here?
I'm trying to look at how this panel plays out, too, because when you see the Slaters on the couch, I swear to God that one, the yellow Slater, her leg is up in the air, and it turns
into a
hand. And
then it turns into a hand. It's kind of on the side there. But the other thing is so funny, because you have a girl, the girl and two guys, they're sitting there all content to be holding up guns. The one may have a rolled up piece of paper. I don't know what it is.
The foot hand.
And then the other guys, the guy who's leaning on the couch has the biggest goddamn hands I've ever seen in my life. And then the guy behind him's there. There are three women, like scantily clad women, who seem to be hanging out on the other side, the right side of this.
They're not getting too close because obviously they're holding guns, and that's quite scary.
Why would you? And why aren't they paying attention to them? They're just standing there looking at each other. And the one guy also has a rolled up piece of paper. They're just sitting there with guns. And then he goes up to the top floor. He's like, but Quentin said the big action's on the top floor. I'm like, why? Quentin can't even get into this. How does he know this? But you go up and you have the two tech girls, Jan and the other, and they have their cue pads, Eric. But yeah, as this is going on, they're looking at the incident at the gate. You know, they're doing security, but also probably, you know, security slash tech stuff.
Well, as you see there, it looks like they're trying to figure out who's like Static is, while also monitoring the gate and all the problems that is going on outside
of course,
the club.
You know, that's, you know, the whole deal is the Static while, you know, but they're still doing that. And you see that Static then.
Which is crazy, because if you look at that panel where they're actually analyzing the pictures and stuff like that, they are using a facial recognition software. So how does it never come to place? Is it
just
like, did I not
up,
like read this
doesn't
somehow hardware? Did hardware somehow go into their system
I
and make
that.
It so it didn't work?
I don't know because it doesn't make sense to me.
And
you could have had a setup of that where he goes to do something and can't, like goes to get a license or something. You know, that whole car thing maybe would have brought it up that he went to go and they're like, we don't have a record of you on file. And then he's got to get the hell out of there because something's weird. But yeah, then he phases through the window there. And goes and pretty much grabs this Jan and takes her away.
He melts the window.
I don't know, because that I know that wouldn't cause too much noise, but I think it would. That's why I'm saying
he does something to
the window. It looks like he makes a melted hole with it, but it's still, that seems like it would make, and even goes to Jan and puts his hands on both sides of her head and like, zzz, and the other one, she doesn't hear. She's got a tin ear over there, Eric.
Really into what she's doing right now.
Yeah, I guess. But we go off then to the abandoned truck terminal, Greenpoint, Brooklyn.
And
this is where
the old abandoned truck terminal.
You know that one. And you have Piranha, Palman go, and this is with their, you know, their underhanded dealings, and their, you know, here's your money, all right, here's the stuff and all that. But then that's where the one guy says, you know what? What's up with Bozo here? The Palman being a Joker looking guy. And he just keeps going, hey, good boy, Krusty. Spelt wrong, Eric. I was a little upset, but he's like, and then he's like, hey, here's
that's
the money.
That's copyrighted.
Yeah, and for you, Bubbles, your juice. And that's where the guy's like, wait a minute. I've got it. I know who you look like, Gonzo. It's been bugging me this whole time. Now, we're in a world where the Joker is a pretty big thing, right? Yeah. I mean, people know about the Dakota and Paris Island here. Think they've heard of the Joker, and this guy can't put a grip on a guy who looks exactly like the Joker.
Turns out that the Pale Man is one of the three Jokers, Jim.
Yeah, maybe, because then he's like, hey, you got the money, whatever. And he's like, you look just like the Joker. And that's where he hits him, and knocks him out, possibly kills him. I'm not sure, but
he comes back later on, because this is the first little introduction we have of what Piranha's setting up with the whole quantum juice, Dr. Nemo is selling to help him
create
the soldiers of the future.
At this point, you see Dr. Nemo and stuff, but it's all in the shadows at this point. It's
from the Dakotas as well.
Yeah, from the Dakotas. And you have it where they're doing this, and he's like, okay, take what you paid for and go. I'm quite sure you'll be satisfied and back for more. They get their Q juice deal and they're off. And then you go to the Empire State Building spire, where you have Static sitting up there with Jan, and she comes to because she was knocked out, but he wants to know what's going on, and it all leads to them setting up a meeting. He wants to set up a meeting at the Shellgate Power Station. Eric, it's all these names thrown out.
Well, no, because before that, we have to have the bad guys talk about it at the Dark Star Advanced Materials Laboratory secret location.
Yeah, and that's what, does he know? And that's the whole thing. They're not sure if he knows the whole deal or what. It seems very odd that that's what he's saying. But yeah, you go back, and now we get a little bit more with Viral, where they're talking, and he is just a virus, Eric. A virus wants to be a virus. And
consuming
this is what
the power aesthetic, Viral could become an army.
Yeah, and that's what he wants to do.
God,
he wants to touch.
Who thought it was a good idea to make a goddamn sentient virus, man?
I don't know. These guys, I guess. But yeah, they're there, and they're like, listen, you kill Static, and you do have a pretty cool thing set up. It's just not it doesn't play out well here,
It's even funny, too, because the Shellgate Power Station, that's literally right outside Dark Star's door.
Yeah, yeah.
Static, no, I'm like, well, that's such a weird thing that it's literally outside of Dark Star's
door,
and Static has no idea.
No, you just set it up there. And with this, you have a pretty cool setup where you do have a living virus. Yeah. And a living virus only wants to replicate. It has found out the way it can is through touching Static. But
Static's power, yeah.
But his job is to kill what essentially is
the
thing he's
Jim.
Found out. It is the devil's hand. He's gonna not go with this, first off, because it's Static, but also because of the fact that they keep pointing it out. And you have this guy, and he's like, listen, where's his, that compulsion isn't surprising, since Viral is essentially an advanced virus. That's what a virus does. It consumes and replicates. However, allowing Viral to replicate in such an uncontrolled manner is definitely not recommended. Exposure to that level of raw power would likely corrupt the fragile genetic sequence structures, resulting in horrendous mutations. Now, I will
thanks
spoil
a lot,
the
I,
fact
Einstein,
that...
I just want to know why Static knows is, how close
yeah,
we are.
Yeah,
you know, what's
this
going
other
on?
Guy's just looking, and I think that's Tan with him, and he's like, the fuck are you talking about? I don't care about this. I just need him dead. That's all we need. But that's where I think that what I thought going into this, and this is one of the big things that I think was left just swept away. And again, we also have to go, I don't know when, now we are fully in tune with stuff. When a book gets canceled, and then we know and whatever. This book had the weird thing where it seemed like nobody knew it was getting canceled until that last issue or whatever.
Right.
So things are being set up. I do think that Viral was going to come back, because why spell out?
Back.
Yeah, and why spell? But it seemed like at the end of this, he's dead, because you go and even say, but with this, it's so set up of if he ends up touching, Static, he's going to go, and it's going to be horrendous mutations and all this, but it never comes about.
I'm just saying, all of a
about.
Sudden, he goes and, consumes Static's power and shit like that and replicates. All of a sudden, Viral doesn't need these assholes telling him what to do anymore, because now Viral has an army.
No, yeah, Viral's going to have 8 trillion people just come in and kill all these guys, too. But yeah, when you go and you do have, at the Shellgate Power Station, Port Morris, you have the setup. And he's like, you know what? I like you Slaters. You know, Mama, you have you have good punctuality. Would be great if they were in those freaking tank tops. But yeah,
some Zuba pants or some
shit. Oh, be so great. And he's like, you know what? Yeah, tell me what's going on. Why are you trying to kill me? You tell me, or else this tablet and Jan's tablet, I'll turn it over to the police. It's so funny that at this point, the tablet burns up. And yeah. They're like, because that seems to be something that would be set up, that they can press. Why didn't they do that before? Why didn't they do it, you know, while right when he got it? Anytime somebody would do this, you think that would
because
happen.
Because now you have static out in the open, so you can kill him, which is all they want to do.
Yeah, I guess. But he still had Jan, though. He still probably would have come here with Jan still asking, hey, you don't get her back unless you do that. Then she probably would have been dead, because at this point, you have Irul, who is the, you know, seems to be a better shot than Deadshot ever was. Yeah. At the beginning.
The virus sniper.
Yeah, the virus sniper, who actually took a shot that seemed to be from, like, Nebraska to New York at the one point. But yeah, he has him dead to rights. He has the, you know,
and the
his
Slaters
scope.
Are yelling at him in the comms.
Yeah, take the shot.
Take
it's so funny,
shot.
Too, is you have him there. To me, where this guy is in proximity to Static, it seems to be right next to him. And he's talking into his wrist or a comm, take the shot. Static doesn't move. He just stands there. You would think that he would move around a little, because then the guy just completely screams it. Static still looks surprised. And that's where you have Virul come in his bike. And he's like, you know what? What's coming? What's the world coming to? And I can't even trust Stone Cold Killers to keep their word, because, you know, he was supposed to have this setup, but that's what. And he's like, that's what makes me smarter than them. I planned for that. What did he plan for? Because
he planned
all
on them
he
not
does,
keeping their word.
Not all he does. Well, he says he planned on them not to. So he planned for them. But I'm telling you, he doesn't do anything that looks like he set up anything different than what we had in every fight that happened. He just ba-boom. And then
now it's back to Virul and some static fighting.
Yeah, just fighting again. And this is where he's like,
Virul
hey,
must
I have to
make
give him
contact with your body. Virul must consume your energy. Virul must kill you with bare hands.
Yeah.
That's creepy on so many levels.
I know. And he's like, and even as he's saying it, the funny thing about it is Static's reacting like that. He's like, whoa, no second base on the third date. I got a rep to maintain. And then they
really
keep going.
No second base on the third date? On Jesus third Christ. Date.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
He's from the Dakota. They work slow there. But yeah, he's like, you want some energy? I'll give you energy. We just happen to be at, you know, at the power plant. And it basically, ba-boom, he hits
And that's
Irul.
Why he had planned for this.
Yes.
Because
well,
that's
that
where he had set it
plan.
Up.
But it's still, even so, it's, you know what I'm saying? It's just goofy. But he does go and Virul's just this pile of pellets.
Well, that's he uses the power station's energy to charge himself up and blast Virul
and blast
to holy
him.
Hell.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm telling you, at the end, he just looks like a pile of fish eggs. When Static starts to leave, you start to see some replication happen.
Yes, that's
though.
The thing, is where you have these, like, fish egg type deals. He goes, he kind of
and
puts his
Static
hand.
Static goes, why would you ever, I know Static has no idea what Virul is.
Yeah.
Why would you go run your hands through this fucking pile of
not even just that,
disgusting
but we can,
nonsense?
We continue the thing where in all of this, every time Static does anything, he just leaves. He did it on the bridge with the pilot. He did it when Quentin's getting hit. He didn't even get him out of it. He just goes,
that, though. He actually takes his glove off to run his bare hands through it. I'm like, that's gross, man. Yeah.
And then
doing?
He says, and then he's like, I know I won this battle, but the war is far from over, and zips off as it looks like Virul's replicating. I can only guess, though, that they maybe, like, that's the weird thing. I can only guess that possibly they knew it was that, because they really spell it out then later. Like, yep, he was dead. It just is weird. But you go to the next part.
All that grew was that hand, and then he died right there. We never got to see it, though.
That hand was just going, and then it just fell. But we're going to be at the last issue of this first four, where you start off. And all of a sudden, you start it, and Static is in a full-out battle with a new villain,
Guillotina.
And it's such a weird transition, especially if you're reading this and you're like, oh, man, I want to see what happens to Virul. You would think that what I was expecting, he's right outside their base, Virul. You know, that they spelled that out. I thought Tan and the other guy were going to come out and kind of gather some shit, see what's going on, maybe even give us a little explanation of, he should still be there. Because you also have the Slate Gang. Like, nobody seems like, what happened? But, it, you know, I thought we were going to get something where, oh man, he slipped away. No, he's dead. No, you can't kill a virus. Something like that. You don't, because all of a sudden there's a cold open in this next issue where he's fighting this new villain. And they're like, hey, and it's a cute juice villain.
This metal-plated woman with freaking razor wire, like long hair, who was, yeah, she is a bang baby as well, second-gen bang baby.
Well, and it says, whoa, and she's hitting, and you see the cue juice works. And then he's like, she's your demo model? But then
all a demonstration for Piranha and the Pale Man to see, because the last bit of Q juice that they bought off of Dr. Nemo, it didn't work. All their test subjects died that they tried to turn into bang babies. This is like, you know, a demonstration. Look, we have this girl, Guillotina. She was, you know, exposed to the Q juice as well. She works. You could see what you can do with the proper way of doing the Q juice.
And then you get, you know, and she's like a razor woman, a metal razor type thing. And what you get here is continuous talk of, whoa, that was a close shave. I mean, everything is about something.
I've never met a woman whose legs could shave themselves.
Oh my God.
I'm telling you, I like the funny banner like that. It's just weird because it's out of nowhere and it goes on so long.
You know, moisturizer can soften unsightly, scaly skin. You just keep going. That's what he's like. And then the next panel is you're the first woman I've ever seen whose legs can shave themselves. And it just keeps going and going and going. And that's where she says, hey, I'm the latest thing too. My name's Guillotina. I got my powers the same way you did, only much more recently, Big Brother. And then, you're getting this whole deal. And then they just go from there. Okay, enough of your talk, Razor Babe. And, you know, and then, hey, tell me.
He's running out of jokes.
What
did
you? And he's like, what do you mean by that? Because he wants to know what the fuck she means. And she's like, I'm not the kind of girl who kills and tells. And, oh, you'll tuck, sugar and slice. Once I dull your edges a bit and knock that killer instinct of yours down a notch or two. And I'm telling you, this dialogue is from multiple panels there. And it's just great. And then he calls her sharp stuff. And all that.
And she's gone.
She's just gone. And these guys who are with her, they skedaddle as well.
And Static throws a tracker on the back of the one shoe of the one so he can get to them later.
Yeah, and that's where he's like, I need some patching up. And it's funny, too, because Guillotina did not win the battle, but Piranha sold anyway. He's like, I'm sold. I'm in at any price you want. And that's where moments later you see Guillotina. She's trying to, you know, she can't breathe, she says. She's trying to do things. And we do see that this guy that we saw earlier is kind of the one who's, you know, getting all this together.
Yeah, like when she was wrapped up in all the metal that's, you know, Static had wrapped her in to knock her down. Dr. Nemo here had pulled her out of our dimension and went to the void where he goes half the time. And it seemed like she was just out of here because she was out of this dimension. Now he's brought her back and he's doing the whole exposition bit.
Yeah. And at this point, still, we don't even know who he is. He still hasn't fully revealed himself. And then you see Static. He's kind of getting himself together. He's pulling shit out of him, shards and stuff like that.
And the whole thing, too, it's like we have this whole exposition how, like, you know, it's harder and harder for this character, Dr. Nemo, to stay in the physical plane of, like, our dimension, say it like that. And apparently he's like, I am drowning and I am nearly too exhausted to keep swimming. To save my life, I need Piranha to succeed with his army. To save my life, I need you to help Piranha capture Static. I don't understand. Yeah. As I saved you, please save me. So apparently Static is the whole reason like that could save Dr. Nemo from fading from existence.
Static's power seems to do everything for everyone. It really does. It seems like everybody's all excited to get hold of him. But in the meantime, he does finally call his girlfriend back in Dakota, Frida. And you don't really get much here, though.
No.
It's basically him calling saying, you know what? It's not like here. Like New York sucks. It's not like Dakota. And she's like, well, what are you going to quit? No, I can't. And all this reason, the reason we moved to New York, the reason I have two sisters named Sharon, it's all my fault. I won't quit, Frida, until I make things right. And then she says, you know, it's not your fault, Virgil.
It's not your
Virgil,
fault, Virgil.
Ovid Hawkins. Yeah, it's not your fault. And then she says, and this is where you get the idea, okay, this is where we're finally getting a full-up setup. It's really starting, and it continues in this issue, of setting up the thing that we'll deal with later, which we never get to, of Sharon and what they're going to do, because she says, you didn't put your family through hell. You didn't kidnap your sister. You didn't do sick things. things to her. You saved her. And everything happens for a reason. He's like, I know, you're right. But you know what? Everybody and their grandmother wants to kill me. But you know what they're doing? It's like all of a sudden it's this pep talk that didn't even seem like a pep talk. He's like, you know what? This is just making me stronger to make me sharper so I can make things right, so I can make my sister right.
And up until this point, yeah, it was a fucked up situation that you have two sisters and one may be a clone.
You never thought that was the main thing, though, right?
That is never the focus of this book until right now.
All of a sudden, it becomes that now you see that really what it is spelling out to me is that Static only continued being Static when he came to New York because he had to save his sisters and figure out what was going on, yet he was never concerned with that, and in fact even had them talk and he'd never even reacted to that. That becomes
the huge thing. Where it seems like one of the reasons to come to New York is because Hardware had set up a thing with Star Labs where they would be able to test his sisters and figure out what was going on with them and maybe even help in the long run. That was one of the points of coming to New York because
there was a special facility that could help her. Didn't do anything with it up till now, but now you see that's the big deal. He's kind of – and he has – you know, on his computer screen, he's trying to track who might be the big bad. He's got all these people's names, you know, all that. And, you know, and that's actually with with the Pale Men, actually. I'm wrong. Yes. They're going with this because this is where the reveal is that the one detective and the Pale Men are actually undercover. So they are the ones. They're even trying to find out who the big bad is and wondering who's, you know, in charge. Once they break that, they can get out of the shit. And the one detective is like, I don't give a shit. Who dies? These pieces of shit, they can die. You have this Q juice? I don't care. Give it to pieces of shit. If they die, they die, whatever. We have to find out who's the bad guy and throws out this little caveat at the Pale Men, who now we're starting to get a little bit of and trying to even make him a sympathetic character, but you get the whole deal like, hey, listen, you know, you want to stop doing this? You don't want to, you know, infect people or whatever? Then go talk to Internal Affairs and you'll fucking lose your badge and you're done. And it's out of nowhere on
the Pale Men to know why he would be investigated by Internal Affairs and be put in this situation to make sure that he could keep his badge.
Yeah, and in this you have two pages of this explanation where it's just thrown out of nowhere that you realize that the Pale Men is working undercover. That he is, you know, a good guy who just is trying to infiltrate the gang, find out who the main bad guy is.
And looking at this freaking rundown of all the characters who are part of this crime alliance and everything like that.
Yeah.
You have 13 goddamn villains in this book.
Yeah. And you have Viral with the he's dead, they think at least. And that's then the thing, that too. Tan.
Viral's off on his own. I always kind of considered him a part of the Slaters for some reason.
He seemed like a Slate gang, they said. But yeah, I guess not. Maybe they were just in there. But you have the whole Slate gang. You have the Crime Alliance. You have Joey Piranha and the Pale Man, obviously him.
And even with
and then
that,
Tan
when we
above
have,
him and the Big
Bad.
The thing
is, too, in that Crime Alliance, I believe that is the one detective not this detective.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. This guy seems to be the undercover guy who's the source for the – it's all out
and
of nowhere.
And we have a crooked cop, a part of the and Crime Alliance
cop,
who's
yes.
all
yeah,
under
and,
Tan
and you're
Young.
Right. You're probably right. Actually, I took it that it was the other guy, but now I see – like they spell it out as Joe.
Yeah.
With just, but again, is that a false thing? Because he looks like he's pretending to be a worker of some sort. So I don't know. I don't know. Because all this leads to the Pale
Men. With the Crime Alliance, we don't know anything about Emilio Marco, Charles White, or Kate Winslet. They were just hanging out, and one of them happened to have a badge hanging around his neck.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
And I'm guessing that's Charles
anything.
White.
Yeah, and that's, yeah, I think it is Charles White. And the only two things, he had a badge, and then he said, hey, I pulled some strings to get some charges against him. That's all we got. And again, when I was reading this, I thought that this was him undercover to try to meet up with the Pale Men because they're not really together.
Tan was also a part of the Crime Alliance.
Yeah, it's so out of there.
But Tan is controlling all of these.
This is where we go, that which we do see. Like I said, it's to
Dark
set
Star
up
Laboratories.
this weird deal with the Pale Man and how he has some sensitive feelings because he was a good guy at one point who got changed by being Jokerized, and he doesn't like seeing these people die like he almost did. But it's not enough. You don't know anything about the Pale Men, so it really comes off flat. You go off to Star Labs then, and this is where we're going to full out push the Sharon's issue, where they are being looked at by two separate psychologists in adjoining rooms.
All under Dr. Davidson's care.
Yeah, Dr. Davidson, which comes to be big later. And when they do this, you continue having that whole deal where they both have exact answers at
the exact time. Yeah, they're both being asked the same question by different doctors in separate rooms, but they can be – they're monitoring by the Hawkins, mother and father and Dr. Davidson, and you see that they're both answering the exact same way
He says, this is unique, Dr. Davidson says, and they're so perfectly identical that they're nearly always given the exact same response to any given question. In fact, they're perfectly identical in every way, and keeps going, and it's quite remarkable. And then he keeps going on and then just basically says, listen, you have my personal word. I'll make absolutely certain Sharon gets the care she deserves.
At this point, you know Dr. Davidson's a bad guy because he's the bad guy. A sinister line with a sinister smirk on his face.
He's doing something. And again, you have this whole deal where you had Virul with this replication. You have these twin, identical twin deal. You also have that thing that I think was going to come into play where you had Static lose his arm and they say, well, it kind of binded because it was this perfect deal or whatever. I still think that was set. All of these things seem to be the setup for this nonsense that never happens. I'll continue spoiling it.
We got to get a hold of the writer and see, where did you originally plan on taking the series?
They basically end up shaking hands and agreeing to live together. Like, hey, why don't we get along? All right, let's go. Right. And then never again. But yeah, this is where you then go off.
Story's over.
I'm telling you, and you just jump around because of the fact that there's just so many people involved. Well, you go off to Piranha and the Pale Man. They're
Piranha's junkyard warehouse on the Hudson River?
So crazy. Who gets a guy to allow him to get a loan to get a junkyard warehouse who is a walking piranha? I know this is a different world. This guy's a walking piranha who goes around in a fucking leisure coat or whatever you call it. The dress
coat. It's a formal coat.
It's fucking nonsense. He's a fucking walking fish. They're there. That's where you see Dr. Nemo. They have the Q juice. They have all of these guys. You know, these guys are homeless guys, gang people they've just kidnapped, whatever. They have them in these grated cells in the floor type deal.
And not only that, they got a lot of different material like tires and just metal objects around them. Because that's the part of the Q juice where you have to spray them with the Q juice and the things around them are what the attributes they take on from the formula.
So you don't want to be around.
Because I guess in my mind before, he was just hurling the Q juice at people with nothing around. So they just melted and died.
They melted. You don't want to be like next to fabric softener or something like that. Something crazy. You turn into something, soft, Aaron.
But I'm next to a bunch of He-Man action figures. Yeah. What am I going to
do? All right. You're just going to turn into plastic. But yeah, they do this. And as
they
are
pouring. It's going to be a goddamn hideous thing with a bunch of figures sticking out of them.
And there's where you have the whole deal where Piranha gets it. He gets the Q juice because he has his money. And it's so funny the way he talks. He's like, here's your stinking money. Yeah. I'm like, why are you so upset at this point? I mean, just give him the money and see.
He has already paid for shit that has not worked.
I know, but this seems to be a little more up, in the air. Also, this does lead to the big point where the Pale Man is there and he is going to see who the bad guy is because he announces it then and says, you have my word from Dr. Nemo. And he's
guy who created the Q juice in Dakota.
I like him. I think he's pretty cool, but
I think he's always silly looking.
I like him for some reason, but he's there and he's like, no, keep your cash. It's so funny that he tells him now. Like he's done all this stuff, probably killed multiple people to get this cash as well. Knocked over a couple stores, maybe protection money.
That's the thing. He actually saw before to get the money previously. He had gone through a goddamn crime family and just murdered a shitload of people to steal this money for the Q juice.
I guess Dr. Nemo doesn't care. He's going to
start another war.
Dr. Nemo doesn't care about that because he's like, hey, keep your cash, all of it. You're going to need it. I'll build your army for free. But when it's done, you have to do something for me. It's the classic, mob type deal. And it's funny. It's just like Piranha's just like, agreed. He doesn't care. He's like, I get the Q juice and the money. The
same thing, yeah.
Yeah, and he gives him the upgrade too. He's like, listen, random mutations are dramatically reduced by locking the formula to integrate the inorganic chemistry of surrounded objects into the express physical transformation. And it's funny because it seems like Piranha should already know this because they did set it up to have that exact thing be like you said. So it's kind of funny just to tell us. As they pour the Q juice on these freaking poor guys, you get a very, very quick and to me drastic change where you're going to see the Pale Man's transformation from to be Jokerized, and I don't think that played out. There is a problem with every time they really want to give you something important, the transition is really wacky to me the way they do it. But
oh yeah, this transition to show you the Pale Man's origin from Officer O'Brien to the Pale Man, it's kind of weird. I do like it though, once you realize what's going on, because it really seems almost like a call out from the 89 Batman movie, because it seems like, you know, he's an officer in New York. There's a parade going on where people are, like, you know, pulling the floats down the street, and the floats start giving, like, you know, sending out the Joker gas, freaking making everybody goddamn Jokerized monsters. So
he ended up being Joker as he was a policeman on.
But somehow overcame it, and it was just, stayed with the effects of it.
Yeah, and you have there, and Nemo's like, hey, you didn't tell them that some of them would die? And I'm telling you. Piranha's like, why the fuck would I do that? We captured these guys and put them down in there. But as it dissipates, you do see that they now have a monstrosity of an army here, and it is really crazy.
Like, what's that with that bone guy? Like, imagine it, like, yo,
I know. What was he around? A chicken wing?
I'm guessing it had to be some chicken wings or some fucking rib bones, you know? Yeah. Like, you are signed up, like, you're going to become the next generation, like, a freaking, you know, soldiers on the street, like, a next generation of gang, like,
you're going to be the gang family of just mutant thugs,
And you're like, you know what? I've always wanted respect and power in my whole life. I am down, Mr. Piranha, man.
He becomes chicken bone, man. And then all of a sudden,
your arms are replaced just by giant bones that go fucking, like, they replace your arms that go through the shoulders at your back. Yeah.
It looks like giant drumsticks. You know, and you have the one guy who looks like he would be like almost like a knockoff Firefly, that he was there at one point. You did see like a gasoline container, so you can go with that. But yeah, you have Piranha's like, yep, I'm going to be the biggest bad now. I have all these people. I'm going.
You have a bunch of monsters and freaks.
But at this point, you do have Static come in and just bust in, and he ends up getting taken down by this guy. And get zapped, and that's it. He's done. And it's such another weird transition where you have this
new Bang Baby Alkaline just freaking alkaline. Zaps, like, you know, Static, and even Static shocked, like, how the hell could you zap me?
Yeah, he's like, who are you? And he's like, call me Alkali. And then from there, they just grab him, and that's where Piranha's like, we're gonna throw him in the water. He's gonna have a death at sea, like the kind I want for myself, Piranha says. And they just throw – they're going to throw him in, and that's where we end.
And that's the best, too, because when we do it, it's not even they just throw him in. It's they have like a tire man and a freaking a girder cement man grab a hold of him, and they jump in just holding him and sink to the bottom. So
yeah, that's where we're going to pick up in the next part, because that ends the first half of this. And I know that we usually save, you know, our score for the end, for the total deal. I'll tell you, this is not good.
It's
not good. I can see why it was canceled. I would think, usually you get like three issues after the whole deal was canceled, but it does seem to, you know, what we looked up or whatever, it seems like nobody really knew it was going to end. And it ends up being ended not by these guys, but by who?
Oh, Mark Bernardin?
Yeah, Mark Bernardin. I always forget his name. But yeah, he ends up there. He does the last issue, because I don't know if they were just like, fuck it. If it's canceled, I'm out. Or, you know, they want it, whatever. And I don't know. It doesn't seem – nothing seemed to be set up. That last issue just kind of ends, like you said.
Issue is ridiculous. For being a finale to a series, it does not make any sense at all.
Yeah, so it's just crazy. But – that is the end of this first part of it. We'll be back the next episode with the second part. I'm telling you, sometimes these are a little long that we have to put them into two parts. I hate to say it. I didn't want to do this as a two-parter just because it's not good, but that's how it rolls. It's electrifying.
And I'm telling you, it's not going to get any better on the second half.
No, it's not. So tune in anyway if you want to hear what happens in it. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I always mention at the end, we have a Patreon account that you can go to, patreon.com/weirdscience. And if you aren't a member of the Patreon and listening to this on our regular feed, if you go over to our Patreon account, you will have a bunch of issues ahead. We're, I think, a month ahead on the Patreon by now of what you
issues
will get
or
here.
Episodes.
Well, issues and episodes. I'm saying episodes more than issues. But yeah, we have already done a bunch that are just Patreon only that will eventually end up on the regular feed. But if you want early access, go over to the Patreon and you can listen to all those. I think we're two or three ahead on that. So just come and see that. And we will talk to you next time. Eric, what do you say at the end?
That was a New 52 review, and now we're through.